So have you guys ever seen those bumper stickers or like t-shirts or like things you put on your windows of your car that say something life, like whatever, like salt life? Like, look at some of the bumper stickers and things that you have one that I've found. They're going to put them up on the screen. Here's a few of them that I found as I drive around. I don't know if you guys have ever seen these before, but there's like salt life. You guys know, you've seen that one probably, like being in Florida. Yeah. What else? What other ones? Soot life. That's like the guys with the big nasty trucks that like kill our environment so we all die. Yeah, that one. That's soot life. Beard life. Thank you, Matt Denyer. Yes. Those of you who have a beard, okay, there is a beard life. Swamp life. All right. Gator fans. Any Gator fans in here? I think that's it, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, as I'm going through this, right, I'm thinking, all these bumper stickers, why do people have these things or like these t-shirts and stuff? What is the point of this brand? Any ideas? What's the message trying to say? Who has one in their car? You said you had one? Can I pick on you real quick for a second? I'm going to interview you. Why do you like have that on your, where is it, on your car? On your t-shirt? Like,
it was a birthday present.
It was a birthday present? Is it something you hate with all your heart? Like you don't like it?
It's like, it was a turtle, so it's like the sea.
You have turtle life? Oh, I thought you had like turtle life. No. I was like, dude, that's awesome. To eternity for the turtle club. All right. All right, so it's like salt life. Do you like salt things? Like, do you do? You like the beach and stuff like that? All right. What is this trying to tell us? Like, what's the point of this brand? Why do they put the word life after you name it, whatever it is? We saw like a million of them. It's what you do in your life. You're trying to kind of get a message out there, like, let's say you're that, what was it, soot life or whatever, like, yeah, I'm a man, I got a big truck type guy, like, everything's about my truck, I know truck sounds and I know truck whatever, you know, like, it's all about your truck. If you're like a salt life person, what are some things that you might do a lot? Fish, surf, what else? What? Drink salt all day long? That's weird. Gross. Huh? Anything, go to the beach. Different things like that. Like Matt Denyer, don't you have a salt life? Matt's like, dude, I could fish like nonstop my whole life and that'd be cool. I'd be totally happy with just fishing with every second of my life. So I have a salt life sticker because I love everything there is to do with saltwater stuff. You stick me on a boat, send me way out catching mahi and tuna and all that other stuff. Sweet. I would love that. Like, I would never regret that. What are some things that if you guys had to think about your life, right? Some things you love. What would be the bumper sticker that you'd create for yourself that might like express you? Any volunteers? Hey, by the way, speaking of that, Benny, come up here for a second. Help me out. Help me out with this real quick. All right, so, yeah. I'm just gonna, Benny's German. We use Germans for illustrations all the time. Okay. So, we're talking about like, you try to make your life about it and all. Megan, where are you? Did she leave? Megan, come up here for 1 second, just real quick. I'm just trying to do an illustration. It's just an illustration, Megan. I swear, it has to do with the sermon. Now, Benny, is there a change in your life recently?
I'm unemployed.
Any other changes, Benny? All right, I'll tell you guys. Okay, good. Whoa. If you didn't get that, that was the ring finger, okay? And they got engaged. Give them a hand. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. You can go sit down.
Congratulations, y'all. There's going to be a big change in you guys' lives coming up. But what are some other things if you could make one for yourself? Yeah.
Thug life.
Someone said that in junior high. It's all about being a thug. Yeah.
I got my license on Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, that's good. What does that have to do with what we're doing? Anyway. How about somebody from this side? What's something that you would make for yourself as a bumper sticker with this life thing that would describe you? I could do this all the time. I'll change any plans I have to do this thing. I love it so much. Any ideas? What? Ask Summer. If someone told me to ask you, Summer, what would it be? Oh, you don't have one? Golf? I can't hear you. Sleep life? Sleep life. How many people would do sleep life? Yes. How about food life? Anybody in here? Yeah. Food. Okay.
Halo 4 life.
Halo 4 life. All right. Well, here's the deal. We've been going through, can you guys remind me, what have we been going through over the last, like, forever now, this last series that we just finished up about Jesus? The armor of God. And why were we talking about armor of God? What does it do for us?
So he won't sin, it protects us from Satan.
Yeah, it helps us from sin, from our flesh, from Satan, from attacks. Helps us live righteous lives, right? It protects us from lies. Why is this armor so important? What are we in? Spiritual warfare, right? And persecution and all sorts of things around us. And even our own flesh is against us. It's our own enemy that wants us to mess up and not live holy lives like Jesus Christ. And so God gives us the power to do that. And it's not like, hey, I'm just going to pick you up and move you like a puppet and do it all for you. I'm actually going to give you the power and the resources and the armor. Get off your butt and go do something. Get on the battlefield and fight with this armor and the power I'm giving you. And so we're called to actually use this as we battle Satan and he's trying to throw lies to us. And the media and the world's like, hey, you know what? You're too fat. You're not worth it. Or, hey, you know what? You're not a good athlete. You're too slow. You stink at sports. You're worthless. Or, hey, you know what? Everybody's going to heaven. As long as you're good. As long as you believe in something. I just had a conversation last week with somebody. They said, well, you know what I believe? I believe that as long as we're all like decent people and believe in something, we're going to make it to heaven. These are all these lies that Satan just wants to throw at you and wants you to believe. And so Jesus has given this awesome armor that protects us. And we can cut right through the lies with what?
Jesus.
Shing! Thank you. With the sword, which is the word of truth that can cut straight through Satan's lies. And so we finished up Ephesians 6 last week. And what I wanted to do was that the next logical progression here I found as I was studying in Matthew chapter 4. Remember we talked about this awesome example Jesus gave us when he got brought to the desert by Satan. And Satan's like trying to like tell him all this crazy stuff. Remember that? We talked about it. And Jesus actually uses this armor to battle Satan. So I'm going to read that to you real quick. If you guys want to, we're going to camp out for a while in Matthew chapter 4. You're like, camping? Yes! I heard that. Matthew chapter 4. This is way better than camping for real. Okay. We're going to kind of do a little rewind, and I just want to remind you what we talked about with Jesus and Satan in this little epic battle, because I see a lot of new people tonight. So we'll bring you up to speed. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, all right, here's Jesus' little answer to Satan. It is written, all right, Scripture says this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now Satan's going to quote a little scripture. Satan's actually using the Bible, remember, to tell Jesus, hey, the Bible says this, but he's going to twist it. He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. He's like, Jesus, even Scripture says you can't be hurt. Throw yourself off this thing. You'll see angels will catch you. Scripture says it. And he's trying to twist what Scripture actually says. So then Jesus replies this way. Jesus said to him in verse 7, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So now Jesus used Scripture again to beat Satan's lie. And then in verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, here he goes with Scripture again, shing, word of the Lord, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Cuts right through his lie. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. All right, so we see Jesus. That is such a beautiful picture of how this armor is supposed to be put to work. He's in the middle of the desert. He's starving. You can consider that a bad time, okay? You're all alone. You're stuck in a desert. You're not eating. Not good, right? You're suffering a little bit for 40 days and 40 nights out here. All of a sudden, the devil shows up. Oh, great. Here he comes now, you know? Talk, talk, talk. Hey, Jesus. And he starts to tempt him. You know you're hungry. You ever had someone do that? All right, I don't need anyone to do that to me. I'm always hungry. But have you ever been like really hungry and someone's like, God, just eat that cookie? Yeah, you know I'm laughing at you. Anyway, sorry, side joke. So you're like, no, I can't eat the cookie. They're like, no, you can just have one. It's not a big deal. you know, it's just one cookie or whatever, and you're like trying to be really good. You guys aren't even dieting, so why am I using this illustration? I'm the only chunky one in here. All right, so anyway, so Satan comes up and he tries this. What does Jesus do? I know you're trying to tempt me, Satan. And the word of God says this. Pulls out the sword, shing, uses his armor, and he beats it down. And then attack after attack and lie after lie. Satan comes at Jesus, and he brings it hard. And Jesus keeps just beating it down. Why? Because he's wearing the armor. And he's not just like, I'm going to put it on when I need to and try to like slink this stuff on. And maybe when I'm in a hard time, I better run and get my faith back. And I better run and put this helmet of salvation on. And I better get ready with my... No, it's not like this last minute thing where he's running out the door, putting his sandals of gospel of peace, you know, all that stuff on him. He's like, I'm ready. I'm going into this thing before Satan ever shows up. And I'm wearing this armor and I'm going to live holy and I'm going to live righteous. And when Satan comes to attack me, go ahead. Armor's already on. He's like, bring it. You know, you kind of see him like, bring it. I can see it right now in my head. Maybe I'm the only one. But that's okay. So it's epic. You should see it. All right. Well, I lost my verse. So we see this awesome illustration of this armor that God's given us. And I'm like, all right, so we've studied this. Where do we go from here? It's beautiful that right after that awesome example Jesus himself gives us of what we study in Ephesians 6, look what happens next. This is awesome. Verse 12, we'll just continue right on. Jesus, he starts his ministry. Look how it starts. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Watch what he does in verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Now here's the prophecy of Isaiah. It's quoted here. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. All right, that's that prophecy. Who do you think the light is? Jesus shows up in this land of darkness. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now look, we're looking at Jesus just came out of the desert. He hasn't even started technically his ministry yet. He goes in for 40 days, 40 nights of this testing. He comes out. He's learned how to use, or he's used this armor very well, effectively. He has it on. He's ready to go. He's ready for battle. What's the battle look like now? What's his mission? Hey, Robbie, I'm going to give you all this armor and just sit there and just look cool with it and shine a lot and clink around. Like, what's the point of this armor then? To use it, right? How's Jesus use it? We're seeing it right here as he begins his ministry. He takes this armor, he puts it on, and he fights for the kingdom. And watch what he does. Don't read over this. Let's go back real quick and see it. Verse 13 says, and leaving Nazareth. What's so big about Nazareth? You guys know? Jesus of, where's he from? It's his home. Where'd you grow up, Jordan?
California.
Man, I thought you were going to say Merritt Island. That makes it more difficult. Who grew up in Merritt Island? Caitlin, you grew up in Merritt Island. What if all of a sudden you're like, okay, Caitlin, get up, go, leave. You can't be here anymore. Pack your stuff. You're gone. Never come back. That'd be hard, right? Would it be hard for you? Why? You never moved ever. It's your home. It's your, like, where you grew up. Your brother would be so sad he'd cry. You know, like, so listen, Jesus leaves his home. He leaves his comfort, his family, all of his stuff. He gets up and he leaves. Bye. I'm gone. My ministry's starting. Yeah, I'm taking off. He doesn't, it's not like, oh, I'm just going to go like on a little vacation. It's like, I'm literally leaving behind my life, my everything. Everything that I've known to this point, everything that makes me comfortable and protects me and looks out for me and loves me, the people, my friends, everything I've been familiar with my whole life. See ya. That's big. And in this time period, that's a lot bigger than in our time period when we have airplanes and cars and we travel and move every other year. This is huge. He left his entire life behind. Then it says, he went and lived in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum, we just read in the prophecy, is this place of darkness. It is this place where the only light there was Jesus himself. So he literally leaves all of his comforts and his home and his people and his family, and he gets up and he lives in Capernaum. Now, here's the cool thing. He's sent on his ministry to these people because there's darkness there, and it's his job to bring light. But it doesn't say that he went and visited. Like, sometimes we do mission trips and we go visit for a week. They're like, sweet, yeah, I didn't miss a trip, awesome. And then where am I going to go next time? Maybe I'll go to Italy, yeah, I'll go there. And it's like, it becomes more of this visit thing. We're going to go visit for a week, and yes, that's a week there, and a week here, and a week over there. And I'm just going to kind of, Jesus didn't, his ministry didn't look like that, okay? His ministry looked like, I'm going to go live amongst these people. Now, he didn't necessarily go and like set up tent and build himself a house and all this stuff, but he went and dwelled among them for a considerable time because he was doing life with these people. He's literally living among these people. So when Jesus looks at ministry and he takes his armor and he gets ready to go, you know what he does? It's not like, oh, I'm going to go chill in that little town for a while and maybe like talk to some people and then just pop out to another town. I'm going to go invest my life deeply into these people. That as I live my life here amongst them, they're going to see the gospel all through who I am. I'm not just going to go and be like, hey, you want to read this track? Sweet, okay, peace. Have a good day. I'm going to go and literally plant myself amongst these people. Now stop for a second because, yeah, that sounds all good when we talk about missions and all that stuff. What this would look like to you is that you go to school and you live amongst your students at school. The other kids in your classes, your teachers, maybe your own families. You go home to people who don't believe in Christ and you live there with those people. And it's not something where you just visit and go, hey, you need Jesus. Okay, have a good day. Bye. You invest your life into these people. You know why? Jesus actually loved these lost people. He loved them so much that he would eventually die and give his own blood for these people. And so when he goes amongst them, he goes to actually like dig in and live among these people and show them the love of who he is, the Messiah. We say we're Christ followers. Are we showing that kind of love? Are we living amongst lost people? I like to ask people a lot, like, who are the lost people? Friends, like people that don't know Christ in your life. Do you know anybody who's far from God or doesn't believe in God? Do you have friends like that? Do you try to surround yourself with some people like that? And it's always a tricky balance because you're like, okay, I want to hang out with them so I could share Christ with them. But at the same time, if I hang out with them, I don't want to just end up like getting swayed. And like, if I don't have my armor on, man, I'm going to get sucked into the same stuff they're doing. And then look where I end up. So it's a tricky balance. But here's the question. If you have no one in your life that burdens your heart because they're lost and going to hell, where's your heart? Why is your heart not breaking over people all around you who are going to spend eternity in hell? Why is your heart not burdened and breaking for the kids who sit next to you in school who don't know Jesus? And you have the very thing they need right there, and you're sitting there with your mouth shut, never talking to them, not caring. And you watch them walk right by you in the hall every day and don't ever say anything. And as they walk by, it's like they're walking straight to the gates of hell and you're just letting them go. Jesus loved, he left everything behind, his life behind, to go to these lost people, to go to them. Not say, yeah, maybe you'll show up at Firehouse and you'll hear Rob talk about the gospel and you'll get saved. That'd be cool. I'm so burdened for you, I'm getting off my butt and I'm going to go find you and I'm going to tell you, you need Jesus. And I'm not just going to tell you, I'm going to live it for you so as you look at me, you can see it. This thing we talked about, gospel life. These stickers of all these different life things that say, oh, I love it so much I could just do it all the time and I'd plan everything around it. I could fish every day of my life and be happy. How awesome would it be if we as Christ followers could seriously make that our theme? The gospel really was the thing we love so much. We could do it all the time. Not, oh, here goes Rob again. He's going to preach about Jesus on the cross. Whew. Find a new sermon, Rob. Like, this is boring. You know, like sometimes we can get that way. Some people laugh because you know it's true. We can be like that. How awesome would it be if our bumper sticker could seriously be like gospel like that? In other words, I want everyone to know that it's seriously, I will radically change my entire life around for this thing. I don't care how busy I am. I don't care what my schedule looks like. I don't care what people say or talk about me or do or if they like me or won't like me. I don't care about any of it. The most important thing to me is salvation and that these people around me are dying and going into hell and I'm really burdened about it. And it means enough that my whole life is the gospel. All of it. So gospel life really is my theme because it's what I am. It's what I do. It is me and I want you to know it. Jesus said, I'll leave all of it behind so that I can go and live amongst these lost people and I will literally be the light for them because they have none. You know, you have this armor not so you can sit there and cling around. It's for you to go rescue people who are standing there in the middle of the battlefield going, I got nothing, and arrows are just nailing them because they have no armor. They're getting pummeled by Satan's attacks and lies, and they don't know any better, and you're wearing armor to protect you, and you're like, oh, too bad. Sorry for you over there stuck up with arrows. Like, run out to the battlefield and rescue these people. Look at the people all around you. Your own friends, the people you say you love, there are those in your life that are lost. We all have them. Do you really love them? Do you really love them enough to say you're going to burn in hell forever unless you know Jesus Christ? And Satan is destroying you right now. But guess what? He's given me armor to wear and I'm going to minister. I'm going to be here and share this awesome news. The cool thing is, after this passage talks about Jesus' ministry starting, it talks about his disciples starting their ministries. So it's like, wow, that's Jesus. He's God. Like, whew, we put him up here. It's hard to be like him. You know, he's God. He's like, okay, I'll make it even more relevant for you. Just like you. Humans just like you that I called. Let's look at how their ministry start, how they put this armor to use. So let's look at it real quick. Verse 18. Jesus, right here, it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, here's Jesus' words, okay? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother in the boat with Zebedee, their father, it's just a cool name, mending their nets. Okay, they're in there sewing their nets up. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, bye dad, and followed him. All right, so we're looking, Jesus is walking by, he sees these fishermen, they know who Jesus was, they could see him and recognize like that, that's the dude who's been doing all this stuff, like that's Jesus right there, it's God himself walking by, like holy cow. Jesus walks by, they're sitting there like, probably going, what? You know, like, it's him. Have you ever seen a famous person in like the airport or something? I saw Jose Canseco once, you know, and I had to like, and whatever, you guys don't even know who that is. that's kind of like what they're doing, like, that's Jesus. And as he walks close and probably like looks their way, they're probably looking like, is he looking at us? Like, seriously, are you kidding me? And then as he gets closer, he's like, hey, you. Yeah, you. Follow me. And they're like, wait, my dad? Like, who? What? Like, are you sure there's not a boat behind us? You talking to us? Do you know who I am? Do you know my past? Do you know what I'm guilty of? Do you know what kind of guy I am? Are you sure you want me to follow you? Like, you're the Son of God. Really? You're calling me? You're talking to me. You talking to me? Right? Could have been something like that. Jesus goes, follow me. It says immediately. Like, these guys are pumped. Immediately, these guys jump up and boom. They leave everything that they were doing, like, laying right there. Two of them left their own dad chilling there. Poor old guy probably forgot his cane. Couldn't even get back to the house. He's just like, ah, I can't get up. Like, where are you going? Like, who knows? They leave dad right there. They literally just get up and they follow Jesus. That's exactly what Scripture says. They didn't help dad to the out of the boat. They just left. See you, dad. I'm gone. I'm following. Immediately. That's such an important word. They didn't stop and go, like, have this big cry fest. They're like, holy cow, are you sure you're talking to me? Yes! Woo-hoo-hoo! I get to follow Jesus! Like, that's the picture of what's going on here. It's not this like, oh man, what? Me? Really? I gotta go, like, I'm in the middle of this. Oh, I gotta leave this, oh man, my bunny, my boat, my poor dad. You know, and it's, what? Jesus, you're talking to me? Yes! Immediately, they get up and they just go right after Jesus and follow him. This is awesome news for them. Like, they're excited. They're happy. Jesus Christ called you out of your sin and your brokenness and say, yeah, I'm the God of all creation, and you're like this little piece of sand, but I see you, and I recognize you, and I know you intimately, and I love you so much still, knowing all the junk inside of you. I love you. Follow me. And your salvation should look like, oh, yes, I get to follow Jesus. This is awesome news. This is the greatest news I could ever receive. You're calling me? I don't deserve you. I don't deserve your love. Holy cow, yes, Jesus, of course I'll follow you. And poof, immediately we follow after Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. You get to spend eternity with the maker of heaven and earth and everything that exists and know him personally. That's some good news. And the bad news is that we always want to, we know that, you know, and we always want to take these other stupid bumper stickers out, these physical ones, you know, from like our lives, and put those back in the car. Be like, well, this is cool too, so I'll try this for a while because I've done the gospel thing. Let me stick this one on for a while because this is fun to live for. Man, then nothing even comes close to comparing to the gospel. And if you think it does, I don't know, you're nuts. You're crazy. I don't know what else to tell you. It's so much better than anything else. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. You're talking about the creator of everything that exists. Does anything even come close to even fitting in the same comparison chart? Is that? No. This is great news. And it's so great. These guys jump up and scream like, yes, let me follow you. And immediately take off after Jesus. And look, they leave everything behind. Jesus says something really awesome to them. And it's an important phrase. Don't just think it's all like this fun little song we sing. Is that even a song? Fishers of Men? No, it's not. Sorry, it's not even a song. I made it a song. I should talk to Brian and write a children's. Anyway, whatever. Follow me. Listen to what he says. It's verse 19. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What were they? They were fishermen. And now they're going to be fishers of men. Now, that'd be really weird if Matt Danner's out doing his thing, deep sea fishing, and he pulls in, like, Robbie Rowell on this. Whoa, there's a Robbie. Yeah, pull that one in. That's great. Oh, yeah. You know, like, that'd be weird. That's not what he's saying at all. What's he saying here? What does being a fisher of men mean? Why is he making a distinction? Yeah. There's those they are those rescuers that are running out to the middle of the battlefield, bringing these poor people getting nailed by arrows, hope and faith and truth, so that they can know this God that can give them the armor. Now listen, it's more than that though. That's definitely what a fisher of men looks like, and that's what he wants to make them, but there's a reason he's saying this. It goes right back to this thing we're talking about, gospel life. He didn't just change what they do. You know, you were a fisherman. Now, in those times, if you're a fisherman, that consumes your time. Like, that's what you do. That's how you feed your family. That's what you spend most of your time doing. They could pretty much, on the side of their boat, have a Salt Life sticker on there, you know, because that's what I do all the time. I have to be out fishing. That's, it preoccupies everything I do. So when they think about life, you're kind of like, fisherman. That's the picture they get. Jesus is saying, I want to replace that picture in your heart and your head of being this, because now you're this. The gospel, it does more than just change you, okay? We're not just changed by the gospel. We completely are made totally new. You basically live the gospel. Your life becomes the gospel. You were a fisherman. You spent all your time being a student at this school and a son or a daughter in this family, and you do this for your sport, and that looks like your life, and that was you. But listen, I'm the God of all creation, and I want to come down and give you the gospel, and I'm not going to just change you with it. I'm going to help you become this. Now listen to me. The gospel doesn't just change your lives. The gospel becomes your life. It swallows it up. So that as you think about yourself as a Christ follower in Jesus, it's like, wow, this is what I do. So when I'm on the soccer field and I'm playing soccer, it's about Christ. And so that when I'm in my school and I'm sitting at my desk and I'm studying, really, this conversation with my friend next to me, that's about Christ. It should be. And my interaction with my teacher, that's about Christ. And the way that I live in my family and listen to my parents and obey them and interact with my own family, that should be about Christ. And all of a sudden, everything is about Christ. And it's like, oh man, I got to live for Christ. It's, woohoo, let me follow you, Jesus. Yes, I don't deserve this. I get to do everything for you? Holy cow. Like, I don't deserve that. This is gospel life. This is my whole life. I want it to become all and completely about you. All of it. I don't want to just say, okay, well, I'm at church, I'm going to act this way, and I'm going to dedicate this time, and let me mark off my 3 hours for you, and there you go, Jesus. My life is the gospel because I don't have anything else if I hadn't received it. We're worthless without the gospel. We have no value without the gospel. We're broken clay floating around in a rock in the middle of space without the gospel. You are 60, 70, 80, maybe years of life and breath and hurt and pain and tragedy and loss without the gospel, and that's all you are. When the God of all creation, who designed you to be much more than that, comes back down and offers you a way back into his presence so you can be here again with him, whew, that's all it's about. Everything becomes about that. So when we say gospel life, we're saying that our life is the gospel. Jesus doesn't just change us a little bit, make us a little different. He makes our lives actually the gospel. Well, we're not really following the Christian life. We can't really call ourselves Christ followers because the example we get of being a Christ follower is, I'll leave it all behind. Now, Jesus isn't saying, hey, you have to give up soccer and you have to give up football and everything you're good at, put it aside. You're not allowed to do that anymore. Everybody quit your jobs and sell your houses and just go stand on the street and hold a sign. And say, you need Jesus, repent today or you're going to hell. You know, he's not saying that. What he's saying is, Christ should be the priority of every single thing you do so that you're willing to do that if he does call you to. Hey, Jordan, I want you to get rid of everything, all your friends. You don't know anybody. Get on this plane and head to Africa. Sorry. That's where you're going. I'm just God. I have to tell you to do that. You know, like, okay, here I go. Sounds great and adventurous, but it's hard. Jordan, could you do that? Just, oh, sure, God, yeah. Bye, everybody. Probably not. Oh, by the way, don't even say bye to your dad. Leave him in the boat. Leave him in the boat. You know? Bye, Jordan. Have fun in Africa. I'll see you on the other. Like, we should be willing to. Gospel life really means that we get it. We get the fact that's all there is. Not only that's all there is, holy cow, that's all I care. That I mean, that's everything. So we get to see these examples of these awesome guys who are like, yes, Jesus, and immediately they get up and follow, and they leave everything behind, and they go. And you're like, okay, that's great, Rob. Good for them. We've heard this before, too. This isn't like some new passage, and you're like, giving us brand new wisdom here. It's going to change our lives. I've heard it before, and I'm just not sure what's so good about this Jesus. Like, I'm still not convinced that he's good enough for me to do that, for me to give it all up. I'm just not sure that it's good enough for me to say, yeah, I know I got the armor, and I got all the stuff you've done this for. I'm just not sure I'm ready to say, good, here's all the control. Like, I still... What do you guys think? Can I ask you? Why is Jesus good enough for us to do something like that? Why was Jesus good enough to you for you to trust in him with your life? For those of you who are believers in here. Because he's done it for us. Absolutely. Anything else? Somebody in junior high really surprised me, knocked me on my butt. I almost fell down. Mr. Crawford had to come pick me up. I was like, whoa, what? He said, because he's life. It's like, that's what we've been saying this whole time. I'm like, duh. That's the same thing we've been repeating. He's life. And when he said it, it actually, as I'm standing here in junior high, another piece of this thing clicked in my own heart and head. And I was like, wow, you just spoke truth to me right here. Jesus is life. Yeah, we know he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by. He is the life. You're not getting up every morning, waking up with your alarm clock, going to school, going through your routine, and that's life. Jesus is life. You know what happens if you don't have Jesus? Do you know where we deserve to be right now, this very second? Do Do you know that whether or not you believe in Jesus, you're living in a state of grace right now because you're not burning up in hell, suffering right now where you should be, suffering eternal punishment because you're a sinner and you are a rebel against God? And His patience right now and His grace is on us in this moment, even if you don't know Him. You're experiencing His grace. That's life. And life can be hard and it can be hurt. You can be hurt. But He is life. And He promises you. He promises you that no matter how hard it gets or what things you go through, He's life for you. Because you know what promise you have? Who knows? Anybody know? What's the promise that we have in Christ? Yeah, I don't want just eternal life, though. If it's just like this one, keep it. I have eternal life with the Creator of all of existence. I have eternal life with the Savior who bled and died for me and gave everything for me. I get Jesus. I get to stare my very God who put me together in the face and live right next to Him and spend eternity with Him. And He's going to blow my mind for all of eternity. Do you get it? There is nothing else without Him. This life is fake. It's false. You're looking around you thinking, yeah, big, this is life. No, it's not. You don't even see it yet. You haven't begun to see it. Life isn't here. Life is Jesus. Life is the gospel. So tell me this, if that's true and He really is worth us living for because of that, are we? What do your schedules look like? What do you put before Him? What other bumper stickers are more important to you that's what my life's about and I'll wrap everything else around that? Or is it about running out and rescuing the lost because you got the armor? Run and use it. Go out there and rescue these people. Live for Christ in a way that when the world sees you, it's not one of these things where, yeah, they know I'm a Christian because I smile and I'm happy and I don't cheat on my tests and I pat people on the back, you know. And they're going to see it in me. It's one of those things where, holy cow, like, why does everything in your life wrap around this Jesus? Why are all the activities in your life and the way you adjust your time and your money and your love and your finances and your relationships, everything, it's all wrapped around Jesus. Why? It doesn't make sense. Because you know what? You're not just talking about Jesus. You're not just giving Him this little slice. Your life is the gospel. Like, you're living a gospel life amongst these people and they're seeing it and you're talking about it and you're singing about it. And when He calls you, you're like, woohoo, yes, I'll follow. And they're like, what are you so excited about? What is all this about Jesus? I don't get it. It's just such good news. Every time I hear it, it's such good news because I'm redeemed and I don't have to listen to Satan lying to me telling me what a horrible piece of junk I am all the time because I'm redeemed by the blood of God that makes me a child of the God of creation. Woo-hoo! I mean, do a little hoo-hoo with me. Come on, get a little bit excited. Woo-hoo! It's good news. Man, if there is one thing that I could tell you to wrap this thing up, it's the words of Paul, and I want to leave you with his words. Romans 1:16. Paul says this is why he thinks Jesus is worth it, okay? Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." When that young boy raised his hand in junior high and was like, it's because He gives life, that's exactly what Paul said. It's the power of God to give you life because you're dead. You think you're alive, but you're dead. He can actually give you life. That's why He's worth it. I'm dead without Him. What else is there without Him? I'm dead. I need life. I need Christ. That's why He's worth it. It is the power of God to salvation. And I challenge you guys, look at your life and say, am I really living gospel life? Or am I just going to church? Am I just going to church or am I living gospel life? And others of you might be here and you're like, who is this crazy Jesus you guys are hooing and hawing about? This is my first time or whatever. Like, what do you guys do here? This verse says that it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And if you trust in Him with all your heart and you say, look, I want life from You, Christ. I want this life that You're talking about. And you believe that, and you surrender to Him, you'll have that salvation and that life He promises you. And look, if you're here tonight and you're like, hey, I want that. Like, I don't completely understand what you're saying, but I want to know more about that. If you look around you, there's some leaders. Leaders, raise your hands real quick. There's some leaders around here. They would love to sit and just talk with you. Not in a weird way, just like comfortable, just, hey, talk to us. We would love to talk to you about how you can be like, hey, I want to know how I can have this life you're talking about and know this Jesus that you're talking about. So find one of those people that raise their hand after. Come talk to me. I'll be up here. We'd love to talk to you and pray with you and show you how to do that, okay? For the rest of you, and get the bumper sticker, okay? Seriously, live gospel life, okay? Let's pray. Christ, we don't want to just do church. God, we don't want to just say we love you. We want everything about us to be you because that's all that matters. Jesus, Lord, I confess to you those times when I don't get it. Lord, I pray that it continues to every second of my life and every breath I take click in my head. What, you're it. You are it. Hallelujah, you're it, Jesus, because you're everything. If there are people in this room, God, I pray that if they don't know you, they would. That you touch their heart. Your Holy Spirit would do a work in them. That they would be willing to accept you and believe and receive your life. And for those of us who are sitting here just broken, Lord, we believe in you, but we're broken right now. And Lord, we need to just know what we're worth in you. We need to remember how much you love us. God, we need to start living a gospel life where everything revolves around you. Help us to do that. Help us to make that decision right here and now and continue to live that way our whole life. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.